Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We are still struggling with death, I think. And did we do the witnessing of the signs of the Lord? I think this is where we stopped, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, one other issue about death is that at the moment of death, immediately when a person dies, they see the signs of the Lord. Irrefutable signs, and everyone comes to state of yaqeen about the Lord. Not a still the Lord, as I said last time, just the signs. Now, in Surah Waqi'ah, the verse which I quoted before, إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ حَقُّ الْيَقِينِ. Indeed, this is certain truth which people find out at the moment of death. And that's because of the signs and the deeper dimensions of this world that they see, thank you so much, that they see, which brings them the certainty. In Surah Qaf, the verse which talks about Sakratul Maut, the agony of death, it says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. Then the agony of death brings the truth. In fact, the truth comes with stepping to the other side of this curtain, and we see clearly what was the true nature of this creation. This is what you use to shun, of course, in ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدْ, in your lifetime. Some scholars say that these different stages of human life, say for example, we have one stage, they say we had one stage before this life, which in which we were given this knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether there was a real world or when the ruh is somehow given to our bodies. That at that stage we had one very overall knowledge which should be understood in detail when we come to this world. We were given that knowledge, of course, very summarily put together without details. Now we have come to this world, it becomes a detailed knowledge. So we go to another phase of knowledge. When we go to Barzakh, we die, we go to a deeper phase of our life and our knowledge about the reality. And then, when we are resurrected once again, we are put in new bodies on the day of resurrection, then we come to another phase of our understanding of the reality of this world, which is of course all manifestations of one reality, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, when we are put in paradise or hell, we come to our ultimate understanding, ultimate depth of our knowledge, whether about the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or about the pleasure and good relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we go deeper and deeper in knowledge. The death is not the end of our knowledge. The death is beginning of a new phase of understanding of this world. And that's why the deceased people have as a matter of course more knowledge about the reality than people have when they are alive. And that's why, for example, you see a relative of yours in dream and he or she tells you something about future or past or something happening in other places. How do they know this? Just as a matter of course, this is a commonplace knowledge in Barzakh. They know it. It's just as you see things around yourself, they see things everywhere. That's just a commonplace knowledge of the deceased people. Whether they are good or bad, it doesn't make any difference. It is a deeper knowledge of reality. And at the moment of death, that reality becomes clear. So, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدٌ. Now, this, the verse in Surah An'am tells us that at the moment of death, some signs of the Lord are seen, not all of them, of course, all of them are reserved for later on. Do they await anything but that the angels should come to them? That's the angels of death, of course. Or your Lord should come, or some of your Lord's signs should come. Depending, of course, what type of death we have, different arrangements might be made. يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ. The day they see some of your Lord's signs, the signs which belong to the other world, not to this world. Then, of course, at that moment, لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسٌ إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ. When you see the real signs, and yaqeen comes to the heart, that yes, this is the reality, then of course, tawbah doesn't benefit you. You have to make tawbah before you see those signs. After that, because that's compulsion. And that would take human beings into another arena. There's no compulsion in tawbah or in faith or whatever. So if there is a compulsion, then the whole philosophy behind it would go wrong. And that's why Quran emphasizes that the philosophy in this world, of life in this world, is that la ikraha fi din. There shouldn't be any compulsion in faith. And when they see these signs, they would have faith, of course, out of compulsion. And this is not accepted. So it's not going to benefit anymore. Well, related to this, of course, that verse brings us to another point about death, and that is believing on the deathbed would not benefit anyone. By deathbed, we mean when the person sees the signs of the other side of the curse. When they see it, then believing, having confessing faith, repentance, and things like that would not avail the person anymore. What exactly that moment is, who knows? It means that if, for example, you live for 8 years, 90 years, and you are an evil person all through, and just one day before you die, or even 1 hour before you die, or even 1 minute before you die, before you see those signs, if you repent, your repentance would be acceptable, isn't it? Does it mean like this or what?
No.
No.
As long as it's sincere.
Yes, sincere, of course, sincere tawbah, not just saying astaghfirullah without intending. Yes.
Can you realize
that
it's acceptable?
Yes. But What do we mean? Because here it says when they see some of the signs of the Lord, the tawbah is not acceptable.
He was talking about like when Fir'aun was just about to die at that point, because he was denying the existence of Allah.
Yeah.
Well, openly was denying the existence of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got to that point when he was dying and he just thought, okay, now there is no power, just that very point before his soul was taken.
That point was the point that he saw the signs.
Yeah.
And he was being taken away.
It was like he was in that position where he was going.
Yeah.
And
so the angels come, the person feels the coming of the angels. The signs of the Lord are seen. In other words, the veil is used. Yeah, yeah, about Fir'aun. Yeah. When the veil is removed, and you see, then there's no tawbah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, but can that veil be removed more than an hour or day before? Should that be
possible? Yeah, my question is, when is that?
Yeah. What about those people who are able to remove the veil in their lifetime? Who see the signs of the Lord?
Yeah, and if they commit sin, despite that, how evil people, what type of evil people they are.
No, we're talking about people, let's say, Arabs and Imam Ali, for example,
yeah,
who say, I see this.
But it's completely different. You might move to to the other side of the veil of removing in this world. But the experience that people have during the process of death is completely a different type of experience. It's difficult to, of course, to distinguish between the two. But you see, Musa had all the visions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. He could see Allah with the light of his heart. But still he said, I want to see you the way people see you after death. And Allah says, it's impossible. You have to come through that process. It's just if you want to know things that you know in this world before you come to this world. It's impossible. You only know about those things when you go to that world. And if you have a glimpse of it, it's just so, it's just seeing it, not experiencing it. You have to experience it. Sometimes I really feel that people who have already died, have passed away, they have, they are so mature and have passed a type of barrier which is unimaginable for us. We are now huge personalities living in a world with deep, much deeper knowledge compared to what we have. And inshallah we go there and you go sooner, I'll come later. And we will inshallah see what's on the other side of this curtain. However, what is that moment? That should be one moment. I mean, compared to, or with the standards of our scale of time, it should be just one moment. With the standards of the other side scale of time, it might last long in a way that the person could speak and could say, if I could go back, now I want to have faith, give me some more time. But that is a type of elongated time scale. Or 1 second made into 1 hour or something like that for that person. But for us, it's just a moment. Before that moment, if someone sincerely can repent, is the repentance acceptable? It is acceptable, according to these verses. However, that is the moment when shayateen are taking their toll from you. They come around, even if you are a mu'min, they come to somehow divert your attention from Allah. Now, if you are an addict sinner throughout your life, they are not going to leave you alone, of course. And it would be very impossible, very much impossible, of course. Not impossible, not probable, but it might be possible. Anyone who can do it, I mean, people might have a good heart, but they have made lots of mistakes, sins during their lifetime. It is possible at that moment they can come back. And the contrary is possible as well. Because as I said, the moment of death is a very difficult moment. It is possible that the person has prayed, fasted, done all their duties during their life. However, they didn't have a good heart. They did it just out of fear or for hope of paradise, but they didn't have a good heart. At that moment, shaitan might come and whisper and deceive and say, look what your Lord is doing to you, taking you from all your children, your property, your pleasures, taking you to death, to grave. What type of Lord is that? And then people come and tell you, say, La ilaha illallah. You say, no, I don't say that. There is actually a precedent for this, that some people didn't say, La ilaha illallah. At the moment of death, they were Muslims, they were practicing Muslims. But they defied, or their hearts denied at that moment. There is a hadith from the Prophet, peace be on him. He said that, من تاب الله قبل موته بسنة تاب الله عليه. Whoever repents before his death, 1 year before his death. 1 year before his death. So, if someone lives 90 years, on the 89th year, he repents from whatever they have done. and then they will become a good person. Allah will accept. Or just imagine someone turns in a battlefield between Muslims and Kuffar, as we had between Prophet and Kuffar, sometimes comes to the Prophet's side due to an emotional or a very quick decision, and is martyred just after a few minutes. Well, he is actually a martyr, and the Tawbah is accepted. Then the Prophet said, no, 1 year is too much. Whoever dies 1 month, whoever repents 1 month before the death, the Tawbah is accepted. And then he said, no, 1 month is too much. Whoever repents 1 day before they die, it is accepted. And then again he said, no, 1 day is too long. Whoever dies before the soul reaches the throat, before you see the sun, before you know that you are leaving, then it is accepted. However, after you see the signs, it is not accepted at all. Now, this verse about Fir'aun in Surah Yunus, وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرِ فَأَتْبَأَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُنُودُهُ, we carried the children of Israel across the sea, whereas Fir'aun and his troops pursued them out of defiance and aggression. When overtaken by drowning, he called out, I believe that there is no God except him in whom the children of Israel believe. Still, he didn't know who this Lord was. He just said, I believe in what the children of Israel believe. And I am one of those who submit. And of course, he was told, what now, when you have been disobedient heretofore and were among the agents of corruption. The verse that I mentioned about the closeness of Malakul Maut to our soul. Now, this is a very interesting paragraph of the Quran, as it is. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ فَزِعُوا فَلَا فَوْتَ وَأُخِذُوا مِنْ مَكَانٍ قَرِيبٍ وَقَالُوا آمَنَّا بِهِ وَأَنَّا لَهُمُ التَّنَاوُشُ مِنْ مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ. When were you to see when they are stricken with terror and left without an escape and are seized from a close quarter? Okay, we discussed this last week. Now, they will say, we believe in it now. And this has no exception. Any kafir who dies, immediately after he goes the other side of the curtain, or the veil is lifted, they say, we believe. We submit. If Fir'aun says, I submit, it means any other person would say, I submit. Because Fir'aun was much, much farther away from submission to the Lord. If he says, I submit, it means every individual person at the moment of death, they submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they see the reality, they see the truth. Now, they say, we believe in it, but how can they reach it from a far off place? Why a far off place?
They have transgressed too much.
That's it. That's one point. The other is, as soon as you go, just you pass that line of life and death, you are now far, far away from this life. It's impossible now to utter such a thing. So, how can they reach it from a far off place when they have already disbelieved in it earlier? Yes.
I think previous lecture you mentioned that also when you're in Barzakh, to actually make that progression towards Allah is a lot more difficult. Would this also be talked about that much further off to actually get to that point? If your progression is slower in Barzakh.
But this is exactly after death, or on the point of death, when they say, we believe in it. Allah says this is a far off distance that you want to come back. That far off distance means you have just crossed the line in which there's no return. So that's what the verse wants to say, yes.
Might it mean as well that because belief itself needs to grow over a period of time until you reach what true belief really is, for them to say we believe in it, they're just sort of reacting to something that they're seeing, not actually believing in the reality of what it is. And it would take them in this world a long time to develop that belief for them.
Until
they get to that. So they are still impulsive in that as well, probably in horror. Because it would take a lifetime again for them to come back and never believe.
Yeah, that's right. Now, there's one thing. Do they not really believe? I mean, doesn't faith come to their heart when they die?
Well, faith isn't just that. Faith is nearness to Allah.
Yeah.
And this is the exact opposite. If you don't have faith, you're not near to Allah, you're far away from Allah.
But still then, they believe that there is a Lord.
Well, shaitan does as well. But the heart has not come near.
Yeah.
The heart is very far.
The heart is very far, yeah. And Allah says, there is a faith, but that faith does not benefit. This is the important issue. La yanfa'u nafsun imanuha lam takun amanat min qabl. The faith of a person who did not believe before this point is not going to benefit them. So it means that faith comes through seeing it, but yeah, it doesn't benefit because the heart is far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That faith is not going to help. When inshallah we come to discuss Jahannam, you would see that the people of Jahannam are the most frequently, the people who make very frequently du'as to the Lord. They call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. Although, of course, they call upon Allah, but still they are told to be very far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the belief has come, the faith has come. They call, but this calling is going to benefit in this world. Supplication is going to benefit in this world, not in Jahannam. And that's why the Quran says, this is the dua of kafirin. And the dua of kafirin is وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ظَلَالٍ. It gets lost. It doesn't appear. It doesn't find any land in any destination. Let's move on. Now, death is, of course, setting on the traveler towards the Lord. As I said, of course, as soon as we are conceived, on the day of our conception, we have set out on travel. Even before that, we have set on a travel towards the Lord. However, there is a difference between this travel before death and after death. Because that travel before death, or our life before death, determines what route we are going to go after death. After death, we have in many ahadith, there is no amal. Amal is finished. It means there is no action that would somehow determine what is your destiny. That's finished. That is done only in this world. So, although we are on our travel now, but the route of our real travel towards the Lord is not determined yet. It's just like a stone, you want to throw it, you have not decided yet which direction you want to throw it and at whom you want to throw it. However, when you have thrown it in one direction, it goes definitely in that direction. Now, the difference between this travel after death and before death is that now we have the time, we have the opportunity to decide which direction we want to set for this travel. After we die, then the stone is thrown and it is separated from our hands. Then the direction of where we are going is determined. And that is why I call it setting on the travel, on a determined, definitive travel towards the Lord. And the path is determined by the way we have lived in this world. Now, for some, of course, yeah, they receive this message, this nida from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the point of death. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, irja'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyah. O soul at peace, return to your Lord, please and pleasing. So Allah is pleased with you, You are pleased with Allah. You have pleased Allah. Allah is going to please you. Okay? But the point is, when the soul is taken, the soul knows that this is the beginning of a travel to return to God. Now, why return? Because erja'i, return to your Lord. I mean, we might say that, yes, in this world, we people who usually are called sinners, not ma'sumin, we get away from our Lord by committing sins, by doing all sorts of indecent things in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get away from Him, and Allah might tell us that now return to me, come back. Come back in the sense that come, repent, I accept you. This is of course acceptable, understandable. But to a person who never has committed sins, Allah says, return to your Lord. When we say return, it means you were here before, you have gone away, now I want you to come back, isn't it? So what type of picture would it put before our eyes? This idea of return. And this idea of return is not something which is specific to human beings, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that everything is returning to the Lord. Every action, every object, every affair, وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ وَإِلَيْهَا كُلٌّ إِلَيْهَا رَاجِعُونَ. Everything and everyone is going to go back to Him. Now, have you ever thought about this idea of return? Not going to Him. Going is different. Returning to Him. Yes.
This area of sense of this earth by Allah itself, and you're returning back. This earth is a temporary phase of life.
Yes, but return means that you were with God, you come away,
yeah,
and then you go back.
We were sent by Him and now we're going back.
We are sent by Him, or we are created by Him. Now, there's two things here. Are we sent by Him, or we are created by Him here? Now, what we understand from the life is that we are created by God here, and we have to go to Him, not go back to Him. Go back to Him means that we were there, now we have come, and we have to go back. It means we are sent. We are sent, yes.
Yeah, but that's the physical thing. But your root, your soul, your thing coming in the place.
So this is calling about nafs,
yes,
which is dealt, which is to do with the soul, is it? Yes.
I think the clue is in your thing when you say the actions return to Him. It means He is the master of everything.
Yeah.
The responsibility, the accountability, everything comes back to Him.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of not that it's gone and it's coming back. But action was never sent by Him. He's done the action. He gave it the free will.
Mm-hmm.
But the return of the action is to Him. So that means that however we do something, it eventually returns to
Him. So return here doesn't mean that it has come from Him and goes back from Him.
Well, everything has come from Him anyway, regardless, absolutely. And everything will go back in terms of responsibility and everything goes back to Him. There's nothing that we can say, well, this doesn't come back to you. You're not responsible for this. I'm going to keep this for myself. I can't work myself.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we have two concepts. One is the verses which talks in the Quran about the route is towards God. The path is to Him for everything. إِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرِ. The path of becoming. We are, everything is now becoming into a perfect state. Now, this path of becoming is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Now, one about the soul, this soul, if you remember, has a portion of the ruh in itself, which is the closest of all beings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, that ruh has come away from Allah, isn't it? In our souls. In our souls. Now, every human soul has a portion of that ruh, which is وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهَ مِنْ رُوحِي, from my own special ruh, I blew in this human soul. Now, we have brought that ruh with us to this world. Or we are created in this world, that ruh has come from there to here. Now, Allah wants this soul with that ruh to go to Him, so that ruh returns to Him. Now, this verse in the Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنَ تَقْوِيمٍ, we have created human beings in the best of constructions. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِرِينَ, then we removed it from our vicinity to the lowest of the lowest of the states, which is this earth. We have come here now. This ruh belongs to the vicinity of Allah. Now we have come to the lowest of the lowest of places. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, and we may remain in أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, or we may go back to Him. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who have faith and do salihat, they will go back to Him. So this is the meaning of return. Yes.
Nafs
is that human construction which has soul in it, the ruh in it, and also connects the ruh with it, is an intermediary between that ruh and our body. So, in one way, it has ability to work with that ruh. That ruh cannot work with the body. And in another, from another aspect, it has the ability to work with the body. So, both the ruh and body come together in that soul. And that soul is a very complicated type of machine, very, very complicated type of thing, which is created in us. Yes?
It's interesting that ayah, that only certain souls will return back to Him. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. But on the other hand, everything will return to Him, even the bad souls.
Everything will return to, everything will return to a state which is the state of appearance of all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True manifestation of His names, without veiling. Okay? However, we know that Ahlul Jahannam are far away from Allah. And Ahlul Jannah are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although both of them have returned to Him. But one has returned to his vicinity, the other has returned to his Ra. To different names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, here, again, at the point of death, these very beautiful verses of Surah Qiyamah, كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِي, no, indeed, when the soul reaches up to the collarbones, وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقِ, and it is said, who will take him up? Now, مَنْ رَاقِ, رَاقِ has two meanings. One meaning is a magician. And the other meaning is someone who lifts something up. Now, according to these two meanings, we have two interpretations for this verse. قِيلَ مَنْ رَاقِ, it means the, now it is said, which angel is going to take the soul? The angel of wrath or the angel of mercy? The angel who takes to the paradise or the angel who takes to hell? Who is going to take this soul? وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقِ, when, of course, the soul reaches the soul. That's the point of death. And the other meaning is that when that point comes, you say, where is the magician to cure this person? Because now you are disappointed from the doctors. You look for a magician now. At that point, وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقِ, who's the one who can do a magic to bring this person back? But that person himself now comes to the understanding that وَذَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقُ, and he knows that it is the time of parting. When at that moment. Now, at that moment, وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقُ, and each shank clasped to the other shank, and this is, of course, an Arab metaphor for the time of difficulty. That day he shall be driven towards your Lord. Now, this now refers mostly to kuffar. There's a difference of tone and expression. Masaq is the way a person is driven towards God. In the first instance, when he talks with Mu'minun, he says, Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutmainna, irji', you come back. I'm not going to push you, to pull you, or whatever. There's no masaq. But here, the kafir, he's driven towards the Lord. He doesn't like to go. He's driven. This is now an involuntary type of movement towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the soul dies. So this is setting on a travel. The death is setting on a travel. And for mu'minun, it's very pleasant. I tell you. Starting that travel is much better than going to a long holiday. Much better than that. I mean, you will enjoy it, inshallah. Believe me. After you die, you believe me that you will enjoy that travel which starts with amazing, bewildering type of wonders that you will see after your death. Yes?
Sorry, Sheikh, is it also significant that here, you're saying there's a change in time, but Allah is dissociating himself with them? Because he doesn't say he shall be driven towards his Lord, as if in his life he rejected me and I reject him. I'm your Lord, not his Lord.
Yeah, that's a good point. That إِلَىٰ رَبَّكْ, the driving is towards your Lord on that day. It's not telling them that I am their Lord. Yeah, yeah. Actually, disowning them, isn't it? True. Again, another verse. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ in Surah Jumu'ah فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Tell them the death from which you flee will indeed encounter you. Then you will be returned, you will be returned to the knower. You see, whenever it talks about kuffar, it's a compulsion. Whenever it talks about mu'minun, it's come back. It's a voluntary type of a pleasant return towards the Lord. Then you will be returned to the knower of the sensible and the unseen, and he will inform you about what you used to do. Now, I want you to think about this very, very, very important phrase in the Quran, which is repeatedly mentioned in different verses. ثُمَّ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. He will inform you what you were doing. What does it mean? Does it mean that we don't know that what we were doing? Did we discuss this last night? Does it mean we don't know what we were doing? What does it mean he will inform you?
Perhaps we in this dimension have a limited ability to realize what we actually do and the repercussions of the things that we do. So maybe that inform you means that you will realize what your actions, the true repercussions and the true value of your actions.
Yeah, exactly. The reality of what you were doing. Now, we don't see a surface. When, of course, not that God is going to tell us, not in the sense that He starts telling us a story, you were doing this, and the reality of it was that, you were doing that, the reality of, no. You will see it. And this is the informing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do salat now, you don't know what's the reality of this. And Allah will inform you, in the sense that He makes you see the reality of salat in the next world. You do tell lies, you don't know what's the reality, what's behind all, or beneath the surface of this line. You don't know what evil is there. Now, when you go to the Day of Judgment, Allah would let you see what's the evil which is beneath. And you will see that evil, actually. So, you see the reality rather than the action themselves. And then, of course, this is mentioned in many, many other verses of the Quran, that يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ, the day when a person watches what he has sent forth. Watches, of course, the reality of it. And this is the informing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what you were doing. And this is very frightening. Really, I mean, we are just like walking, like sleepwalkers. We just do things without knowing what is the repercussions, the realities of them. And one day Allah is going to inform us about it.
Do you think that he will inform us, or we will gain insight and we will inform ourselves? That, like, the prophet had special insight, and they didn't commit sins. Not that they couldn't commit sins, but they didn't commit sins because they had the insight into the reality. So do you think that when we pass through the stage of interbozak, that we ourselves will realize? We won't need to be told.
As I said, the telling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing it to us. And showing in the sense that we realize the reality. Yes, of course, yeah. Like, for example, we have وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلَ, your Lord revealed to the bee, to the honeybee, to do all these things. Meaning that he has put it in his nature. And when he is informing us, it means that we will see all these things by ourselves, the realities of whatever we are doing. It can be very pleasant. Very pleasant, and it can be very terrifying, depending on what we were doing. And it explains, of course, that death is the beginning of this. However, when we go deeper and deeper, it becomes more terrifying or more pleasant. And the meaning of all these ahadith, which tells us that when you die, if you are a person of good actions, a very handsome, beautiful person would come to you and you feel that you love him or her or whatever the way you didn't love anyone in this world, and you feel that you do not want to depart from him at all. And then that person would sit beside your head in the grave and says, don't worry, I am with you all through. And you feel that you feel comfort when he says this. And then you ask, who are you? And he says, I am your actions. That's just, you see the reality of your actions. It's explained to us in this way. Now, suppose if the person is an evildoer and a man comes to him, which he hates the way he did not hate anyone in this world, and terrified from it, the way that he goes out of his mind, and then he says, I'm going to be with you all through your travels up to the point of judgment. And then Allah, of course, will judge between us. And he says, who are you? He says, I am your actions. I'm with you. So, يُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلِينَ. He's going to inform you. Inform in this study. You will see. You will realize the realities of your actions. That you, what you were doing. Now, the other thing about death is that now you pass through the world of angels. Here, no one can see angels except prophets, okay? But when you die, everyone can see the angels. And the angels will speak to them, and they will speak to angels. So, everyone will become a saint, but a prophet? No, of course not. You just cross to a world, which is the world of angels, so you will see them. Good people would like to speak to angels, to see them, to talk to them. Evil people are afraid from the angels, because there are two different types of angels coming. Terrifying angels and present angels. And again, this is another information Allah gives us about the reality of what we were doing in this world. It all goes back to that very standard verse, سَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. He would inform you what you were doing. And all these information are set in motion for us in form of reality, in form of angels, different personalities, and so on and so forth. Now, why I say you will see the angels when you die? Let's first think about the kuffar. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا. Those who do not accept to encounter us, they do not expect that we meet one day, Allah and His people, they say, why have not angels been sent down to us? Why to a particular person as prophet, and the angel should tell him, and he comes and tell us, well, why do we need him? What do we need him for? Let the angels come directly to us. Now, they don't realize that the angels would not go to anyone, of course, to everyone. Or why do we not see our Lord? Why He has to inform us about our Lord? Why do we not see it? Now, Allah responds, certainly they are full of arrogance within their soul and have become terribly defiant. Of course, if they know how this world of angels and connection of human beings with angels works, that only very, very, very purified people can do that. And then they have to come and inform others. Then Allah says, don't worry, one day you will see the angels. You want to see the angels? Okay, one day you will see the angels. But the day you see the angels, you regret it. You say, well, I didn't, I wish I never would have seen the angels. The day when they see the angels, of course that's the moment of death, and afterwards, the day when they see the angels, there will be no good news for the guilty that day. And they will say, keep off from paradise. وَيَقُولُونَ حِجْرًا مَحَجُورًا. Now, يَقُولُونَ, it might mean that the angels tell these people, keep off from paradise. Or it might be these people telling to angels, keep off. Go away from us. We don't want you. We don't want to see you. So, both ways would mean that it would be a very unpleasant encounter between human beings and the angels. Now again, the kuffar seeing the angels on the moment of death, so who is a greater wrongdoer than him who fabricates a lie against Allah or denies his sign? Their share as decreed in the book shall reach them. أُولَٰئِكَ يَنَالُهُمْ نَصِيبُهُمْ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. Now, of course, this is a very important verse in the Quran. It means that whether you deny Allah or you do not deny Him, whether you are a kafir or a mu'min, a share of the blessings of this world is written for you in a book. Before you are created, everything is written in a book. And whether you deny Allah or not, you will receive your share, which is already written for you in that book. It's written that you should be a well-to-do person. You deny Allah, you do not deny Allah, that would come to you. So it says, أُولَٰئِكَ يَنَالُهُمْ نَصِيبُهُمْ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. Their share as decreed in the book shall reach them. Until, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُنَا. Until when our messengers come to take them away, they will say, قَالُوا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. They would say, where is that which you use to invoke beside Allah? And they reply, they have forsaken us. And they would testify against themselves that they were faithless. So there is a conversation between the angels and the people who die. They ask them, they reply them. And this is, of course, the questioning of the grave to which we will come. This is the questioning of the grave, of course. When the angels come and ask the people, about, well, the Quran says one of the questions is this. For kuffar, one of the questions is this, that where is that which you use to invoke beside Allah? And they would look around, they don't see them, they say, we have lost them, they have forsaken us. قَالُوا ذَلُّوا عَنَّا. وَشَهِدُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, and they testify against themselves. They testify not before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now they testify before the angels. These are now the angels coming and asking them. And they would squeeze the questions out of them, the answers out of them, in the sense that they cannot lie. If they lie, they squeeze them in a way that they extort the truth out of their soul. And this is the whole purpose of this questioning. It's not a question and answer session. It's just extortion of reality out of your soul by those angels. These angels are real experienced, as Allah says, that they would not miss anything in taking the truth out of your heart and your soul.
Important for angels to do
that. Now we come to that. When we come to questioning of the grave, that why there is a questioning in the grave, and why is it important that angels would do that, we'll discuss it. Now, with regards to mu'minun, how the mu'minun would encounter the angels. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Indeed, those who say our Lord is Allah and then remain steadfast, the angels descend upon them, that's of course at the moment of death, saying, do not fear nor be grieved. Receive the good news of the paradise which you have been promised. So they would promise them that after this will be paradise. They give them the good tidings now. We are your friends in the life of this world, which is the world of Barzakh, of course, and in the hereafter. Those angels who come to them, they are going to be with them all through until when they go to and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every soul has his own specific angel, good soul, every good soul. And you will have in it whatever your soul desire, and you will have in it whatever you ask for. So this is how the good people encounter the angels. As I said, encountering the angels might be very pleasant and might be very terrifying and unpleasant, depending on how Allah is going to inform you what you were doing in this world. Yes.
You said that when it says this world, the barzakh. So then, if that's the case, what's the hereafter, and what is hayat al-dunya? I always thought that hayat al-dunya was this material world, and after all, everything.
No, hayat al-dunya is this world, including the world of barzakh.
Okay,
because akhirah is after that, when the souls die and then they go, they are made alive and they go into bodies. That's akhirah. That's hereafter.
Paradise you mentioned here, is it the paradise of
Barzakh?
Is it the paradise after?
No, they actually give them the good tidings of the paradise of Akhir. Yeah. Any other question? Okay, inshallah we continue next week on Friday.